Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is January 4th, back in the swing of things, back in the studio. Feels like winter out there as well. Snow in the forecast. It's a chilly, cold day. Multiple layers today. It's kind of a little cloudy. Sun's starting to come out, but, you know, it's kind of hard to get back into the swing of things when it's cold, it's dark, it's dreary. We've had a few days to relax and or to enjoy time with family and to reflect on God's word and the gift that he has given us in his son, Jesus. And now it's back to work, back to school for many people today. I know for my family, it's back to school, back to work for the rest of the family. I've been back for, a day now to a regular routine. Had a little bit of a routine during Christmas, but now back to the regular routine. How about you? Is it challenging to get back to that routine? Well, we have our friend, Dr. Jack Fiennes, to help us out today. We're going to talk about that with him, getting back to our normal after the holidays. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family. Find out more about them on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo. Joining us by phone this morning, our friend, Dr. Jack Fiennes, clinical psychologist. How are you this morning, Dr. Fiennes?
I'm doing fine. You ought to be more happy. It's actually heading towards spring. You know, we've got 12 more minutes of sunlight since Christmas. You know that, don't you?
Yes, the daylight is getting longer. You are correct. And yes, I appreciate that greatly.
So even though it's cold outside, you get to see more of it.
That's right. So Dr. Fiennes, did you have a nice Christmas?
Oh, yeah, very much so. In fact, yeah, exactly 2 weeks ago, we were having all kinds of Advent services and Christmas parties with the grandchildren, and they had a Polar Express parties down in St. Louis. And so, yeah, there was a whole bunch of stuff going on. It was very positive, very, very positive. And obviously, Christmas itself, the birth of the Savior, singing angels, and all the various things we did. And quite frankly, that's one of the problems or really issues that a lot of parents, a lot of families are facing now, is they get to the back to the what I call a dull normal, and what do? I mean, really, we're sort of underserved a little bit by the church calendar because we have this great fest of Advent, and we have the great fest of Christmas, and we're waiting for Epiphany, but there's really no filler now. It seems like no filler until we get to Ash Wednesday and Lent, and so we went from this basically high of great happiness and joy in the church. And now we're like, oops, what are we doing now? We're sort of like on a train going somewhere where we don't know where we're going. And many times the kids are all wound up with what happened. The parents are trying to restrict them back to being normal, whatever that normal is. And things have just become rather dull. D-U-L-L, dull. It's sort of a dull time of the year for many people. And unfortunately, that's exactly the time of the year when you talk about cold and weather and stuff. Seasonally affected depression happens because it's getting lighter, but it is dark and cold outside, and so you're not seeing a lot of Merry Christmas lights right now, and you're not seeing a lot of Salvation Army people ringing bells out there. It's basically just dull.
Well, it is still Christmas until Friday.
That's correct, and I think that's what I want to focus on. You know, we sort of skip over a lot of terms. We use them a lot in the Advent services, Christmas services. You know, we use the word Emmanuel. I'll talk about him in a second. Yeah, we talk about the fullness of time. We'll talk about that in a second. But, we skip around a lot of things. And we hear, Mary was a central focus to a certain extent of the mother of Jesus, a central focus of a lot of manger scenes, a lot of inspirational writing, et cetera. But she did something that was rather interesting. What did Mary do after the birth of the Savior? Any idea?
After the birth,
what did she say she did when everything was said and done before the wise men showed up? What did she do?
Now I'm going to have to go back and read the text. I was thinking
she took her gold from the wise men to Macy's and bought a new house. No, what she did. You know, that's an interesting question. I would like some theological experts eventually to tell me what she did with that gold. You know, because my feeling is when we went to Egypt, Joseph put a tent up and she went to the Marriott Hotel. I'm not sure, but anyway. Because she had some extra cash. But what I want to focus on is what did Mary do? And Mary is a model in terms of what we might want to do during this time. It says in Luke 2, I don't exactly know the exact reference, it says she pondered things in her heart. Mary pondered them in her heart, okay? And that sort of passes in, passes out, and we it sort of applies to us during this new normal, dull normal, whatever season, whatever you want to call it, Because the question is now, for the listeners or anybody, how many of you are actually pondering what you just went through? I mean, and what does pondering mean? And if you take a look at that word, I think the Greek is enthumai, and that means you basically put things together. You sort of organize yourself together, and it basically relates to the fact that you try to get a very firm behavior and understanding as to what just happened to you, okay? It's not trauma, it's not shock, but certainly, wow, you know, we just went through Christmas. This guy shows up named Emmanuel, which is God in us, and we've got a whole bunch of different changes that have occurred to us. And I think instead of being left out, and here comes the joke, being left out in the cold and on this train I'm talking about that we don't know where it's going, we are actually, the train is going exactly where it wanted to go. It's traveling with Jesus in charge, traveling us right to the right direction. But I think we should spend less time worrying about what we're doing and more time being merry as we're pondering all this in our hearts. I mean, there's some very significant things that happened here over the last 10, 12 days or something like that, that a lot of people just sort of, once you put the stockings away, once you put the tree away, once you put the nativity scene away, once you put the Advent wreath away, it's all of a sudden, oh, we're back to normal. The house looks the same. The tree's no longer there. Kids or grandkids, whatever, are gone. The cooking's done. What's next? And I think we need to take a really good look at, let's say, Galatians 4, where he says, when the fullness of time had come, okay? And what does that mean? That means that everything, this time of the year, is the fulcrum of history. This time of the year is when everything was supposed to happen and did happen. And it's not so much just a historic statement, but take a good look at what happens there, and you keep reading Galatians. If you take a look at that, you notice that it says that from this point forward, we can talk to God personally. We can now call him Abba, A-B-B-A, Abba Father, like Daddy or something like that. And so right now, the thing to ponder is our new personal relationship between God and us. A new personal relationship that is not established by us. We had nothing to do with it. He chose us. But all of a sudden, everything scintillates from this point. So if we would take, I love Advent services, and I really do love the light, lighting the candles and singing songs with the grandkids and stuff. But I think it'd be really important if we had post-Advent or post-Christmas services, okay? Pondering services in the home, where you can sit down and say, okay, guys, what exact first two things? Number one, what just did happen? What does all this mean? And number two, how do we put it in verb form? How does it change our lives? Because I can guarantee you that Joseph and Mary changed their lives after that. I can almost guarantee the shepherds did. You know, the wise men, how many there were, they did. Herod did. A whole bunch of people changed their lives because of this, okay? But what does it do to us? And I guess the question is, if we now have a personal relationship with God the Father, we call him Daddy, and then we have a new personal relationship with our Savior, does that mean anything in our lives? Does that mean we should be happier? Should we be more joyous? Should we be more respectful? Does it mean we should be more planful? What does that mean? Should we just go about our normal life going back to being dull, okay? And I think if you take a really good look at a lot of the words that are used, like in Galatians 4, and you look at Mary with the pondering, you'll all of a sudden see that it's what's sort of required, or not required, but what's implied is a change in your life right now. So it's not dull, but so it's really not back to normal. It should never be normal again, because God has unnormalized relationship.
So getting back to normal certainly involves spending some time pondering what God has done for us all in Christ Jesus.
Exactly. And I think the phrase in Galatians, and Paul Meyer talks about, like, the fullness of time, the enormity of that, that God took so many thousand years, name the number you want, but so many thousand years getting the empires, the world organized, transportation system organized, the verbal system, the communication system, everything organized so it'd be perfectly natural for this to occur, and actually perfectly supernatural for this to occur, to upset the norm. And I think the question is, do you upset your normal life because of your pondering on what happened on December 25th, okay? And if the answer is, I'm not going to upset my life. I'm just going to go back to work and just drink my coffee and complain about the Bears or whatever, you know, watch football or whatever, then you haven't done it. Then you've just gone back to, you've just normalized your life. And what I'm saying is your life ought to be unnormal from now on, because you ought to be more strong against going for sinful things. You should be more worshipful. You should be more devoted to the church, more devoted to your wife and family. The wife, everybody should be more connected to each other, the more fellowship, koinonia, because all of a sudden, this huge system of life, which is normally dull, has been upset. The apple cart of life has been upset. And the apple cart has been upset because, you know, quite frankly, the inn in the manger scene you have, that guy was having a perfectly good day, and then all of a sudden a baby showed up. I mean, the guy that owned the hotel or owned the inn. The shepherds were having a perfectly good day out with their sheep. Those are temple sheep, according to Paul Meyer, and they were going to be sacrificed in the temple. But these shepherds showed up with angels, okay? Then these wise men come from everywhere. Everything got upset, and it's designed for upsetness. It's designed to create a huge kaleidoscope of different experiences. And what people need to do is ponder these differences, place them together. That's what the word means, place them together, and figure out, what does that mean to me? How does that change my life? And it's interesting, if you just take a, and I'm not going to get too preachy on this, but if you take a good look sometime at, let's say, Psalm 1 or Proverbs 4, you will see that in those two circumstances, the questions to you is, how do you change your life? How do you make your life different? How are you going to live from this point forward, especially Psalm 1? And if you take a good look at those things, the question is, well, you're pondering, when you gather this stuff together, what just happened to you at Christmas and Advent, what are you going to do about implementing a new change in your life? And then that strange word comes in, metanoia, which is a Greek word for change of mind. Has the Christmas season made you understand who you are in terms of God's forgiveness and why God did this, okay? Because he didn't have to do this. We don't have to have a Christmas, okay? We don't have to have all this stuff going on in the church. He did it because he wanted to, because he loved us. And that's huge in terms of, you could say, the fullness of time. What would motivate us to do that for somebody else? And that's it, pondering in our heart what happened to them.
So this, what does this mean, Jack? What does this mean for children? You know, as we talk about this for adults and all this pondering, this thinking, what about for children who have gone from all of this, well, nearly chaos during Christmas of, you know, no regular schedule. The regular schedule's probably gone out the window, but also all the unusual things that happen during this time, in addition to the joy of getting to attend special services and music and those types of things. There's all the family gatherings, the change in diet, I'm sure, that happens during that time. And then for families that do Christmas presents, whatever amount of Christmas presents they do, that still can be, well, that can really change the whole scenario. I know for our three-year-old, this was the first year that he really paid attention to what was going on with presents, and that kind of threw him off one of the days. Just he was out of character for the rest of the day because it was just so different than usual. I think he was a little overwhelmed.
Oh, definitely. And I mean, you talked about possible chaos. It definitely is chaos. But then that's, you know, you got toys and presents and bows and wrappings and noise and Christmas carols going on. There is a lot of that going on. There is a tremendous degree of chaos there. But you see, let's go back to life experiences, okay? These kids are all going back to school now. All four of my grandchildren are back in school. I can guarantee you there'll be attitude issues between kids. There may be some bullying going on, maybe some stealing going on, maybe some, maybe not treating people well. And you see, that's when you make this application. And you say, okay, today if Charlie or whatever decides to be a bully to somebody, and your kid comes home and says, well, I was bullied by Charlie, or somebody's made comments about somebody, like negative comments at school, or they didn't get their teacher and they didn't get along, what's your first, your normal response would be mad, cry, fit, throw a fit, whatever. But what is pondering in their heart what Mary did, what does that do for your change of behavior? It means, what did God do on that day? That's, he sent his forgiveness into the world. John 1, okay? And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and John 3:16, he came to forgive people, okay? And so basically you're asking your kids to say, instead of reacting violently, and reacting negatively, instead of reacting like a normal person would do, be unnormal. Be what Jesus would want, which is a fellowship with Abba, the Father, and be quieting, be forgiving, be loving, and get out of your character and be a different character. Be a character of forgiveness and hope and connect with that person who was a bully. Connect with the person that lied about you. Connect with the person that said bad things about you. Connect with the person in a forgiving way. And so it's a direct application for kids, not so much like, okay, calm down, you're back to school, and oh, you better behave yourself, but how am I going to forgive my neighbor and combine with them because God forgave me?
So what can we do as parents to help our kids get back into that routine, going from, maybe sleeping in over Christmas break and now time to get back to that school routine and be ready to be up and ready to go to school on time and being able to be alert enough to do homework in the evening or whatever activities or chores they have in the evening and stay on top of those. Just getting back into that regular routine after a Christmas break like that.
Well, I think two things. First of all, on the spiritual side, I think it wouldn't be a bad idea to have parents out there say to their kids at night over if they have their dinner or whatever, maybe before their soccer game, what are they doing these days, indoor soccer, whatever they're doing, you say, let's take a 5-minute moment here, or 10-minute moment, and talk about what does it mean? What does it mean to ponder these things? What does this mean? Christmas should have changed me? How am I changing my life to do this? So you take a moment of that spiritual reflection. Number two, you start organizing things so your life has been somewhat chaos. You start reestablishing the fact that the goals for the next few weeks is to get schoolwork done, get up at certain times, brush your teeth at certain times. You go back to get away from some of that somewhat relentless freedom we've had and go back and sort of enjoy life yourselves, but enjoy it within the boundaries of what's expected or what needs to be done so they can get back to maturity and get back to education. You talked about kids and grandkids, toys and stuff. My grandkids, we got a toy Sherman tank, I guess you call it, a remote control thing. And they take great joy, if you will, in coming over to our house and chasing my wife around with that tank. And it's not very fast, but still runs. And shooting her with these little toy, they're not bullets or anything, but they don't anything, but they're quite attracted to chasing my wife around the house with that, make noise. She screams and yells and loves it, you know, so sort of fun. Also, they also try to go after the cat with them. The cat went upstairs and went to bed. So. Cat had enough of the tank. but no, I think that setting up, there was a guy named Steve Covey once, a friend of mine, and he wrote a book called First Things First.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very good book. He was an LDS guy, but a very good book. And it talks about, in terms of prioritizations, sit down with the kids and say, what are our goals and accomplishments that we need to do for this week? And then you set up a day-to-day plan as to what need to be done, hours, organizational things to do, et cetera. Number one, keeping what Mary and Joseph are pondering in our hearts, let's make sure we don't forget the impact of Christmas on our lives so we tend to love and forgive other people just like he loved and forgave us. Number two, how do we become effective in our lives? What do we do to get things done for school? What do we do to get things done for church? What do we get things done with the family? Keep my room clean, whatever. And let's move forward with keeping the first things first.
What about getting back to work and being productive at work? You know, the going from, maybe sitting around on the couch, snacking all day, to going back to work and being productive at work. We've talked about helping kids get back into the routine to get back into school. But what about for us adults when it's time to get back to work and be productive?
Well, I think you have to ask yourself the question, why do you work? Of course, the immediate answer is you work to earn some money. But in actual point of fact, the whole concept of work is energy. That's if you take a look at the word work, the idea of work comes from a lot of words in physics and stuff, and it means to apply energy to get something done. And quite frankly, there's a lot of work over the holidays. My wife cooks up this Italian food we drink or eat called Sugo sauce, and it takes 3 days to prepare. And then, of course, me, I'm the dishwasher, so I'm working constantly because the more she prepares the food, the more people eat, the more I got to work. So there's still some work from the holidays. But in general, what you do is say, now, let's see, work requires effort, requires force, it requires energy, it requires direction. And the question is, you see, God was at work in us during that pondering part of Mary, and his work was just beginning. See, this is sort of, we sort of see Christmas sometimes, it was, you know, the Christmas tree and all that, and the manger scene, and then we sort of put it away and forget about it. But that's when he started working in our hearts and started working in the world and started working in civilization. It changed us. And what we knew then, said, oh, wow, if that's what he did to us at Christmas, And that was the beginning of work on earth for him. Then what do? In our work, we begin our own work with joy and cheerfulness. And we go at it not just to earn money, but to have an effect on society and do whatever we do to help people. And your role at KFUO to save people, to get the word, the grace out to them. But in our daily work, where we're working in America, to begin to show people that I can produce my good works, or not good works, but produce good things that can help other people, and do it with joy, and don't do it with dullness. Do not be dull, be happy. And I like the one that the word a lot of us use called efficaciousness, you know, being effective at what you're doing, you know, and be mindful. Carol Dweck at Stanford called it being mindful what you're doing. It's almost like the word pondering, being mindful what you're doing. So whatever you're doing at work, you're doing it not just because you have to, or not because you're paid for it, because it's going to make an impact on the world somewhere.
Now, earlier you mentioned the amount of daylight. You know, during winter we have such short hours of daylight. It's the days are certainly getting longer, but in terms of daylight. But tips for helping us get through these gloomy days when it's time to get back to work and it's so dark out. It's dark when you go to work. It's dark when you go home.
Well, I think what you do is you turn darkness into light, just like exactly what we talk about in church. And then we say, guys, you know, you can actually look at the how dark it is and say, guess what? In 2 weeks, it's going to be lighter this time. In 3 weeks, it's going to be much lighter. In four weeks, it's going to be almost bright, you know. So what you do is you focus on the fact what's happening in the future. And then what you do, I tell you, in this day and age, with all the kind of stuff that we have, from Netflix to music you can listen to, Pandora and whatever, if you can't find something to do to occupy yourself, to distract you, I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to be living in the first century when there was nothing to do except play around with cows and sheep? I mean, nowadays, if you get depressed about those holidays or get depressed about the light, you got all kinds of things you can get into. For that scriptural reading off the computer, you know, about interpreting things and taking a good look at stuff, Googling things, asking questions. There's all manner of things that are available to people today to distract them, from the darkness, distract them from the lack of hope, and aim them toward the future. And I said, what I do is tell people, find your resources in your house. Find where you got your tools. They may be focused on biblical and spiritual things, or they can be focused on fun things. Find puzzles and find things you can do, and focus on those things. Don't worry about what the sun's doing. The sun will be the sun, the moon will be the moon, and you just take care of yourself. And I guess a big question for all of us, will the Cubs win again this next year? If you want to ponder something for your heart, ponder yourself, how the heck did that happen, you know? Especially if you're a Cardinal fan.
Now, what are you doing in this 2017 that, are you doing anything new? What did you do to help you get back to your routine after a little Christmas vacation?
What I decided to do last week, I threw the hospital in a tizzy because I had some surgery exactly 1 week ago. And I'm not a big, I don't conform to a lot of things. And so what I did is I decided to, when they bring you back from surgery, you always have a blood pressure cuff on you, you know, and I hate that thing, you know, because it takes your blood pressure like every 2 minutes. So I just took mine off. I guess I forgot it was connected to the computer system of the hospital. And immediately they had a big red chart coming in because they're sure I died or something, you know. Of course, I was in there eating a pizza that I ordered, so it wasn't quite the same thing. So I decided to upset the apple cart a little bit that way. But I'm getting back to work thinking that I'm very happy that the surgery all went well, meeting all my friends, getting things done. And quite frankly, having a lot of fun on KFUO.
Well, we're glad to have you here, and hope we'll have a chance to catch up with you in the new year. Tips on what we, daily things that we could do or things we should be reading to help us out in getting back to that routine this year with just about 2 minutes left?
What I would do is I'd take a good look at the word Emmanuel, okay? What does that mean? If God is in it, God is in us, or God is with us, what does that do to us? What does that mean when we take a look at Romans 8? What does it mean that says that nothing can hurt us? Because God is in us and he's already charted our way for us. What does it mean in Luke 24? Take a look at some of these things. Luke 24, we always skip Luke 24. We look at the resurrection, but we notice that Jesus' role in Luke 24 is exactly the Isaiah wonderful counselor thing. He's got two of his followers that are very depressed and very anxious about what's happened over there. What happens in Luke 24? He's walking with them to Emmaus. Walk with Jesus, take the walk with Jesus, and start reading some of these things, these action verbs, these action behavioral things, and find out what it is he's done for us and how does that affect your life.
Spend time in God's Word, a great way to get each day started, and we certainly offer that here at KFUO throughout the day. You can listen live as Pastor Fisk starts the morning off with his time and the daily lectionary, but all those are available on podcast as well. You can listen to and download things like that. Our program's here to help you start your day as well.
I think you say help use KFUO to ponder God's Word.
That's a great idea. Use the resources here at KFUO to help you ponder God's Word. Well, thank you, Jack. Always great to spend some time visiting with you. I hope that 2017 is a great year, a healthy year for you. And thanks for the tips helping us get back to our routine after this little Christmas vacation.
Well, I tell you what, the people that are really suffering right now with the nurse that took care of me last week, I think they had almost a nervous breakdown themselves. they came rolling in. I was at Papa John's Pizza, so it was sort of funny, actually. God's blessings, everybody, and let's hope both the Cubs and the Cardinals win.
Thank you. You too, Jack. Take care. Coming up in just a little bit, more faith and family. We're going to revisit a story, a beautiful story of why I chose life. Talk with a family in California about why they chose life for their son as we reflect on the gift of life that God has given us, especially during this month of January. Tomorrow, we'll check in with some of our friends who are attending the LCMSU Liberty Conference in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.